before Jesus. He who bore the load of sin. As he knocks and asks admission, sinner, will you let him in? Room for pleasure, room for business, but for Christ the crucified, not a place that he can enter in the heart for which he died. Have you any time for Jesus? As in grace, he calls again. Oh, today is time accepted. Tomorrow you may call in vain. Have room for Jesus, Lord of glory, hasten now, his word obey. Swing the heart's door widely open, bid him enter while you may. Dear ones here tonight, it is our desire to sing a hymn and then ask the Lord for his help, and then with the Lord's help present to you the love and the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ, the God of heaven, who came to this world for boys and girls, for young people, for moms and dads, and for grandpas and grandmas. I'm a grandpa. You know, Jesus loves sinners. And you know, every one of us here in this room tonight is a sinner. But maybe there's a sinner here without Christ. I know there's many here in this room tonight that are saved sinners. And I trust that everyone here in this room tonight can assuredly say when they leave, when you walk through those doors tonight, that you can assuredly say, I'm a saved sinner. Let's sing together number 17.
Have you any room for me?
Gracious God and our loving Father, We lift up our hearts to Thee in thanksgiving and praise for Thy beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that one who was indeed the Father's delight, and Thou didst send Him, our loving God, to be the Savior of the world. O loving, precious Savior, tonight we thank Thee that Thou didst go to Calvary's cross in love for sinners. Lord Jesus, we worship and praise Thee and thank Thee tonight that Thou wouldst think of us. Puny man, Thou didst come in love, Lord Jesus. And it is Thy desire, precious Savior, that we present to many tonight the loving gospel story, and to hear those words from Thy lips, "Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give thee rest." Lord Jesus, what a rest this is that Thou dost have for each one here tonight. And we pray, especially, if there is one in this room tonight, or more, that truly they may understand the need to be saved. Our Father, we pray that we might speak well of Thy beloved Son. We ask this of Thee and give thanks in Thy worthy and precious name. Amen. Turn with me to the Gospel of Luke in chapter 16. We're living in a world where money seems to be a very important thing. How many of us boys and girls like to earn money? You know, when I was young, I enjoyed earning money. And I remember when my mom and dad told me, "It's good to save your money." And I trust that they express that with prudence or with a wise heart so that I wasn't interested in hoarding my money and not even using it. But you know, it's a dangerous thing to be occupied with money. And this story, which I would like to read tonight, talks about a man who enjoyed money. In fact, God tells us in this story that he had, if we can read between the lines, that he had lots of money. So let's read this story together, and I would like to present tonight the love of the Savior and how he so very carefully expresses in his word things that we need. And you know, if we had nothing in this world, I would say that perhaps money would satisfy the most. But you know, it won't do for eternity. Because you know what eternity really is? Eternity is life without time. We all look at the clock on the wall, we know that in 1 hour, that big hand rotates once. And in one full day, it rotates 24 times. And it goes on day after day, year after year. And oftentimes we forget that we're living in time. We look at our watches and we tell time. I remember children, our children, learning to tell time. And oh, it was so much fun to have a watch. You children like to wear a watch, don't you? I do, because I can tell time. But you know, when we get in eternity, there's no more time. And where will you spend eternity? With Christ or without Christ? And that is the very sad subject to discuss. And I trust tonight that each one of us in this room can fully say within the depths of your heart that you and I belong to Jesus. Because if we belong to Jesus, we will be able to spend eternity, that's life without time, with the Lord Jesus Christ. Here is a story in this chapter, beginning with verse 19. Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, and verse 19. There was a rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy goods, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which should pass, that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come unto this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Now this is a very, very sad story. And I remember as a boy, some of you boys sitting there, you girls, one time I was at a Detroit conference many years ago, and Brother Charles Whitaker spoke on this subject. And I remember when he came to the paragraph here where Abraham describes that there was a great gulf fixed. And you know, in my mind's eye, I sort of pictured a great place off on this side and another place off on this side, and there was a vast abyss in between. And there was no way that one could reach one side to the other except by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I can't remember whether it was that time, but I remember the time when I took Jesus as my Savior. And I'm hoping that there's a boy or a girl or a young person or a grandpa or a grandma this evening that would accept the Lord Jesus as Savior. It is my desire to present tonight what a sinner is. And also, with that, our condition as a sinner. And then God's remedy and God's love. And then I want to tell you just how you can be saved. And I want to tell you tonight, dear ones, that it's very simple. And the hardest part is to yield from one's own thoughts, one's own thinking of maybe I can get on by myself. Maybe that I'm very dependable and dependent, not dependent. You know, I have to tell you a story about a young fellow that worked for me. A very tragic story when his life was snuffed out very suddenly. Back home in Grand Rapids, where I'm from, in a tool and die shop, Robert was an apprentice. And I enjoyed Robert working for me. He was very careful in everything he did. He was accurate in the things he needed to do. He would take the work that was assigned to him and he would produce the blocks of steel, squared them up properly so that they all fit together in a die casting. And you know, we had lots of talks and he had lots of aspirations. And you know, 3 years ago, maybe 4 years ago, he came to work at the new place where I'm working now. And that February, 3 years ago, he wanted to take me for an airplane ride. Well, Ken likes airplanes, and so Robert Fafalski and Ken DeGraff went for an airplane ride. And I took my camera, because I like to take pictures of railroad tracks and other things. And so he was really anxious that we went. And I was concerned about Robert because I was not sure whether he knew the Lord Jesus as his Savior. And it was a little bit difficult for me to break the conversation. The Lord gave strength, though, at the end when we were done. He was putting the airplane away and we got into the pickup truck and we were driving down the highway. And I had the opportunity to ask him if he thought much of eternal matters. He said to me, well, he says, not really, he said. He says, you know, I have my own life and I'm selling everything that I have. And I knew that he was doing something like that because that was another concern for me. Because I knew that he was selling all his tools and he was going to quit his job and he was going to go live in Alaska. He wanted to live in Alaska where the bears are, where there's fishing without trouble, and he was looking for that time of enjoyment in his life. I didn't know it until after his death that he told a fellow Christian friend of mine at my work, he told him that he was indestructible. Now, isn't that a very sad thing to say? To think of oneself as indestructible. You know, he had a motorcycle, and one of the fellows was warning him about this motorcycle because he enjoyed riding this motorcycle, and I'm not sure whether he drove it carelessly. I never saw him drive his motorcycle. 3 years ago in June, we were out in Walla Walla to the conference. And on my return, I went back to work Tuesday morning. And my fellow work associates came to me and they said, Ken, did you hear that Rob Fafalski was killed in an automobile accident? It shook me up, dear friends, to think that just 4 months before, I was with him in the airplane and he was the pilot. And he was a careful pilot. I noticed when he flew the airplane, he was careful in everything he did. But you know what happened? That he didn't expect. A man in a pickup truck ran a red light and Robert hit the broadside of that pickup truck. And he was killed instantly. You know, dear ones here, boys and girls, young men, young ladies, we have no promise of tomorrow. God doesn't promise that we will have breath for tomorrow. So it pays to take the Lord Jesus as your Savior right now, tonight. Don't put it off. The Lord Jesus loves you that He went to Calvary's cross. There He was suspended, nails pierced through His hands, because He loved you. He loved you and He loved me. And He wants you to accept Him as your Savior. Now I'd like for you to turn with our, not losing our place here, because I want to come back to this subject, but I want to express to you where God tells us that we're sinners. Turn to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 is the verse I have on my heart, but we'll begin at verse 10. Romans 3 and verse 10. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher, and their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now drop down to verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Notice those three words, all have sinned. Dear ones, tonight, this doesn't leave anyone out. Every one of us fits in this category. The only difference is this. The Lord Jesus came to die for sinners because He wants sinners to be with Him in heaven. And it's necessary for you and for me to tell the Lord Jesus that I'm a sinner. Oh, it is so important. Dear sinner friend tonight, God loves you. He wants you in heaven. He gave His Son in order that you would come to heaven. He loves you and He wants you to be in heaven. It says in John's Gospel, chapter 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's life without time, eternity, life with Jesus. You know, when Robert was riding on that motorcycle, it was only a couple of nights before he was to leave on his trip to Alaska. He didn't know that he had two more nights to live. And dear ones here tonight, you don't know. It tells us in God's Word that God doesn't promise. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You know, we woke up this morning, we had breakfast, and we enjoyed the company of one another here today. I can't tell you what's going to happen tomorrow. We all have plans, maybe nice plans. Some of you children maybe are looking forward till tomorrow. I'm looking forward to tomorrow, but maybe the Lord is coming. Maybe something might happen and our lives might be snuffed out. You know, 2 weeks ago, I believe it was 2 weeks ago, we were at a place. We all came into a funeral home, and there in front of the room was a casket. Oh, it was a picture of death. I knew this person for a good many years, And I'm thankful to say that she went to be with Jesus. But you know, we don't have a promise for tomorrow. You know, this rich man, he didn't know what was going to come tomorrow. He was banking on his riches. There's another story in the Word of God that tells us about a man who had riches. But I'd like to point out a couple of things in this chapter. Here was a man who was a rich man. God doesn't tell us his name. And it tells us that there was a beggar who sat. You know, it tells us in verse 21, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. And this man, you know, this beggar, he was hungry. And it tells us here that, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. And it's like the Bible is saying, and by the way, the dogs came and licked his sores. It tells us moreover, but it's kind of like to me, and by the way, the dogs came and licked his sores. I remember learning about dogs in the Scriptures. They mean to us shameless evil. You know, people have dogs. We have dogs as a pet sometimes. But you know, a dog is a careless animal. Sometimes it's a filthy animal. And here, this animal was licking the sores of this beggar. This rich man had no care for this poor beggar. And so the story goes on that he was hungry and he would have eaten the crumbs that fell from the table. You know, sometimes when we have something to eat, we're real careful about the crumbs. I know that I pick up crumbs off of my plate with my finger and I like to eat the last bit. Maybe there wasn't very many crumbs for this poor beggar. But you know who loved him? Jesus loved him. And you know, dear sinner friend, I want to tell you tonight that Jesus, I want to tell you from the depths of my heart that Jesus loves you so much that he wants to give you food and raiment and a home in heaven for all eternity. He's not going to let you go. He's going to make it so you'll take Jesus as your Savior. He's going to make you miserable until you do. And I pray to God tonight that you would be miserable until you take the Lord Jesus as your Savior. The Lord tells us in His Word in Romans that we read, it says there, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. God's Word tells us that we're sinners. Back home a week ago, they had a special gospel meeting in Fremont. Fremont is north from us, about 50 miles. And there's two brothers there who have had the desire to have special gospel meetings every Saturday night. And the assembly there has embraced this effort, and it's a nice little work. And guess what happened last Saturday night? One of the boys, who has sat under gospel meetings for many years, I think he's 10 or 11 years old, he went home that night, and when he went to bed, he put his head on his pillow, and he couldn't sleep. He got thinking about his soul. And he realized in his heart that if the Lord should come that night, he would not go to heaven. Why did he think that way? Because he knew in his heart that he had not yet told the Lord Jesus that he was a sinner. He heard that night about sinners. And he wept, and his daddy came in to comfort him. And he says, I want mommy. I want mommy. Never, usually he is consoled by daddy. Daddy reads stories to him. But this time, he wanted mommy. So mother went in there and talked to him. And he said, I heard at the meeting tonight that I'm a sinner and I want to be saved. And you know what happened? That dear little boy, he got on his knees right beside his bed and he told the Lord Jesus that he was a sinner. And he said, I want you to be my Savior. What do you think happened? He got up from his knees and he gave his mommy a hug and he says, I'm saved. That's such a nice story. I hope it happens to one of you boys or girls tonight. Don't put your head on your pillow until you tell Jesus that you're a sinner. Then you can spend eternity with Him forever. You know, our moms and dads, I have a dad and a mom, and you know, they're getting older. They're in their 80s or 78, 79. And I know that my dad has been sick a few times, and we almost lost him. So dad may not be around much longer. And as we grow older, some of you young children, you think about the life ahead of you. Oh, I got a long time to wait. No, I've seen little caskets. Let's not be fooled. You know, Satan would tell us in our ear, he would whisper in our ear, and he would say, you can wait just a little while. If you don't take Jesus right now, you could have more fun. Isn't that right? Isn't that the story we hear in our ear from Satan from time to time? Yes. He doesn't want you to take Jesus as your Savior. I would like to turn now to the 12th chapter of Luke for another man who was rich and what happened to him. Here we had the story in the 16th chapter of a rich man and a poor man, or a beggar. And the beggar went to heaven. And there was a prayer that went up and it wasn't answered. And you know, they wanted, that rich man wanted Lazarus to come and just cool his tongue because it was so terrible in those flames of hell. Now here in this story, in the 12th chapter in verse 16, is a little bit different, but it's similar. Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, and verse 16. It's very interesting to notice that the Lord Jesus is very careful in expressing His thoughts so that we have no mistake about what He's trying to tell us. The Lord Jesus is very kind, isn't He, to tell us so many nice things in His Word, to touch our hearts and to tell us where we are in our souls. And He spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say unto my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Here's the story of another rich man. Perhaps we could say that this man enjoyed goods to sell, and he brought in a lot of money. And so he was occupied with all the things that this life could produce. And you know, this is another area where we have problems sometimes. You know, there's a saying that goes, little boys have little toys, but big grown men have big toys. And you know that's true. There are things that seem to occupy us or can occupy us when we get older. There's that danger. Here is a man who had many riches in things and in goods, and he didn't have enough room to have them all. And so his thought was, well, let's take down this old barn and let's build another big one and another big one and another big one. And then look at all I have. I can just relax and retire and take it easy. How many of this story have we heard before? Some of us that are older at work in a shop and offices, we hear that from time to time as our fellow workers get older. And then sometimes the question comes to us, is, well, are you ready for retirement? Well, am I ready for retirement? Are you? Where are you going to retire? I can thankfully say, in heaven. God had to say to this man, thou fool, this night is thy soul required of thee. What did that mean? What does that mean? The Lord was essentially telling him, tonight, the life you are now living is going to come to an end. And then what are you going to do? You didn't take Jesus as your Savior. You see, the problem is with our hearts. By nature, we forget God. And that's what Satan wants us to do. He doesn't want us to think about God or eternal matters, but he wants us to go on in life as if nothing is wrong, and pretty soon life will go on, and all of a sudden the end will come, and where will you be? You'll be with Satan and all his angels in the lake of fire. It's a terrible thing. Satan is a liar. He wants you to think that everything is going to be okay. And it's not. It's a lie of Satan, dear sinner friend, tonight. God loves you, and he wants you to be with him in heaven. Wouldn't you like to be in heaven? Walking those streets of gold to be with our precious Savior, where there's never a shadow of nighttime? God, the Lamb of God, is the light thereof. In heaven forever. Oh, think of it, dear ones, tonight. You can be there and be assured that you're going to be there tonight. Well, I have another story that I'd like to tell you that has caused me a lot of exercise, because after Robert Fafalski was snuffed out, and he was born a Catholic, and I don't know whether he ever took the Lord as his Savior. But when I heard later that he said to the other men at work, he says, I'm indestructible, reminded me later this year, or actually it was earlier this year, and this year is the 85th anniversary, as they call it, of the sinking of the Titanic. And so I was quite interested in the Titanic, because I remember hearing as a boy about the Titanic and what a great, big, huge ship that was. And there were so many people that thought that that boat was indestructible. And you know, I found out after getting a library book, actually I got three of them, there's a lot of detail in some of them, and the stories of different ones. You know, the thing that struck me the most was there were only a half as many lifeboats as there was passengers. In other words, there weren't enough lifeboats for all the people that was on that boat. But you know what happened? When the sinking of the Titanic finally went down into the water, when the Titanic finally went into the water, guess what happened? Every lifeboat, there was one lifeboat that had only 14 people aboard that lifeboat. And there was room for 40 on every lifeboat. I think there were some that were bigger and there was room for 80. But not one of those lifeboats were filled to capacity. Why? Because Satan got people to think that this boat was not going to sink. Wasn't that a tragedy? There were over 2,000, I think there were 2,020 passengers on that boat. And there were only 707 that were saved. Now, isn't that a tragic account of man's thinking that this boat was not going to be destroyed? And you know, dear ones, tonight, when I think of all those souls that were lost at sea, they could have been saved had they the faith that those lifeboats would take them to safety. But they didn't believe. Satan lulled them into the fact that it was true that they could stay on this boat. People tell the story, there was accounts of people telling the story when that ship was finally sinking and the front end of the boat was going down under the water, that people moved up toward the back of the boat, and there they were, hundreds of them, just standing there watching, and they thought that this boat was never going to sink. But Captain Smith said, everybody that can go to the lifeboats, go. He knew that boat was going down. There's another nice little story that comes out of the sinking of the Titanic. There was a little girl that was in the lifeboat. Her name was Phyllis. And she was sitting there in the seat next to her aunt. And she was crying. And she was crying hard. And all at once, her crying stopped. And her aunt asked her, she says, Phyllis, why do you stop crying? You know what she said? She says, I prayed to God and He told me that we're going to be saved. Wasn't that a wonderful story? She knew that she was going to be saved and she no longer cried. Wasn't that wonderful? I couldn't believe it when I read that story. It was precious to read of a little child that had the faith that she was going to be saved. And dear children here tonight, if you haven't taken Jesus as your Savior, I plead with you, don't put it off. The Lord Jesus loves you. He went to Calvary's cross, and there He spent His life in order that you might have eternal life. Here's a man who thought he was indestructible. This rich man, he was relying on all his goods. But God had to say, let's read it. But God said unto him in verse 20, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Turn to John's Gospel in chapter 3. John's Gospel in chapter 3, and let's read a precious verse there that tells us about God's love. You know, I can tell you that Jesus loves you and that God loves you. I want you to read it for yourself. John's Gospel, chapter 3 and verse 16 says, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Then in John's epistle, it was read to us today. I believe it was today. Very nice verses in John's epistle, chapter 4. Listen to these beautiful words in chapter 4 and verse 9. In this, verse 8, the end of verse 8, for God is love. Verse 9, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Oh, dear ones, tonight, think of it. God's love for you and for me. You know, last night, brother that was giving the gospel talked about words and how that we can understand and we can communicate through words. And here are such beautiful words. God is love. There's another verse for Christians that I enjoy very much. And I want to encourage some of the young folks here tonight too. And though the rest of us, we need the gospel, we need to hear again and again the love of God. In John's Gospel, chapter 15 and verse 9, it tells us there, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Well, that's for the Christian. And that's what you and I can have after we've taken the Lord Jesus as our Savior. We can continue in His love. You know, when the Lord Jesus came and gave His life, and there He hung on Calvary's cross for sinners, you know, it tells us there that He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then He said, it is finished. And what happened next? It tells us in John, I believe it's in John, or it tells us in one of the four Gospels that the Lord expired. Let's just turn to Luke 22. Let's get it for sure, exactly as it's written. It's so precious. Luke 23, I believe it is. Let's read from verse 44, Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, and verse 44. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. This is the verse. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, He said, Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, He gave up the ghost. You know, the Lord Jesus gave His life. No one took it. He gave His life. Why? Because He loved you and He loved me. Oh, dear sinner friend tonight, can you see the loving Savior hanging there on Calvary's tree? Is it for the love of your soul and for mine that He died? Yes, it is, dear sinner friend. Won't you accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior? There's a wonderful hymn that we sing. I'll just read it to you. Death and the curse were in our cup, O Christ, 'twas full for Thee. But Thou hast drained the last dark drop, 'tis empty now for me. That bitter cup, love drank it up, left but the love for me. Jehovah lifted up His rod, O Christ, it fell on Thee. Thou wast forsaken of Thy God, no distance now for me. Thy blood beneath that rod has flowed, Thy bruising healeth me. Dear sinner friend, Jesus died because He loved you and He loved me. Won't you take Him to be your Savior? Jesus loves you and He doesn't want you to go to the lake of fire. God tells us in His Word that the sinner that doesn't repent and take Jesus as his Savior will be lost in eternity forever. Don't let that come to your life while you're still breathing today. Take Jesus as your Savior. I want to tell you right now how to be saved. The Lord Jesus is in heaven and He's listening. And He knows what's going on in your heart and mine. He can see right down into the depths of your heart, right inside. He can tell. He knows what you're thinking. And so, all you need to do is get rid of the pride and that which is in oneself and ourselves that hinders that which would say, I can do it some other day. Just think right now about that and get rid of that thought and tell Jesus right while you're sitting here in your seat, tell Jesus that you're a sinner. I want to turn to one verse that will help you see that for yourself, and that's in Romans chapter 10. Another beautiful verse. My brother Neil was talking about these verses this morning in the Sunday school, that this word is nigh thee in verse 8. But now look at verse 9. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, or Jesus as Lord, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, one other scripture in Acts about the Philippian jailer. I believe that's in the 16th of Acts. Here was a man who said, what must I do to be saved? Verse 30, Acts 16 and verse 30. He says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, that's Paul and Silas, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. You know what's necessary in believing? You and I must believe it in the depths of our heart. It must be real. Don't be like those people on the Titanic who thought that that boat was indestructible. Don't be like Robert and say, I'm indestructible. Dear ones, tonight, you and I are destructible. But we can have Jesus as our Savior and be forever with Him in heaven for all eternity. Will you take Jesus tonight? Will you accept Him as your Savior? Don't put it off, because tomorrow may never come. Shall we close with singing number 25 together? Life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf, be in time. Fleeting days are telling fast that the die will soon be cast and the fatal line be passed, be in time. Number 25.
Life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf, be in time. And the fatal line be passed, be in time.
Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, there is a verse for those of us that know the Lord Jesus as our Savior. And if you take Jesus tonight, you can, from the depths of your heart, say the words of this verse: "The Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." I hope that every one of us in this room can say these words of a truth. Shall we bow in prayer together?